Hello, everyone. Good evening. So it is our last class for now. The goal really for today is to try to find a way to implement a lot of what we have been discussing and learning about and trying to find a way to bring it into our daily lives in some way, kind of learning how to integrate the teachings, familiarize the teachings. So in terms of what we have done so far, right, and what we kind of explored in more depth in our last session as well, is a lot of focus on stabilization meditation and learning how to increase our awareness or ability to place our awareness on an object. And familiarize ourselves with that mind training, with that practice, so we become better and better at it. And what conditions are conducive to that practice? So in terms of, just getting to a place where we're observing the sensations in the body or observing the thoughts with equanimity and not necessarily being too attached to some of the thoughts or feelings or emotions, or conversely, wanting to kind of push them away as well. Right. So, in our last session today, we're going to look more on analytical inquiry through meditation and combining them, like using stabilizing meditation as a foundation, and then building on that stabilizing meditation to focus more on inquiry. Okay. And specifically, we're going to look at like our purpose, our value, our meaning in our lives, and how we can direct ourselves a little bit better in this world, be better captains of our own ships in a sense. And what that process is like to integrate knowledge, to familiarize oneself with the course. And also just like the importance of motivation and dedication and how one's intention or motivation really enhance the power of the practice. So that's why like in Tibetan Buddhism, we really always begin with our motivation, with our intention. Khandrila, you see her picture up on the wall here. She's Lama Tsar Phimmache said she is a Buddha, not like a Buddha, she is a Buddha. She is like a highly realized being. But she never had like a proper education and a proper schooling. So I think she's illiterate. I don't think she's able to really read or write very well. But she's built this huge kind of monastic institution in Nepal on the outskirts of the Kathmandu Valley. And she says everything, it's all just done because of her intention, her motivation, her visualization, right? And that intention and motivation has kind of sparked this creation. And so, for us, when we come here tonight, again, like I just draw, I kind of come back to this feeling that even if you're not really sure necessarily kind of what your true intentions are or what your motivation is, we can come to that core teaching that we want to be free of suffering and the causes of suffering, and we want to be happy and have the causes of happiness. And all of us are striving for that in some way, shape, or form, right? So our purpose and intention for tonight is to continue to find a way to do that and to really benefit others with loving kindness and compassion. And to again learn to increase our awareness on an object of practice and increase our analytical inquiry as well. And how we can, the important thing is like how we can integrate that into our daily lives. Right. So that's kind of what we're going to look at a little bit more focused today is how can we integrate what we're learning now into some practical steps for our daily life. And that will be done through some meditation, stabilizing and analytical meditation as well. But yeah, we'll just take a second to just settle and just really establish a strong intention or motivation for being here. So you can just sit upright, not uptight, nice and relaxed. Just try to connect with your motivation for being here. That you and all beings have this wish to be happy and be free from suffering. That through coming here today, we continue to develop boundless wisdom and compassion. Helps to contribute to a happier society, world. One that is free of hunger, poverty, discord. May we can all experience joy in a world of peace. Thank you. So as we've discussed and noticed through stabilizing meditation, that's really necessary to bring about transformation. That if we cannot kind of continue to train our ability to stabilize our minds, then it becomes really difficult to kind of create some transformation, right? But we also need wisdom. We also need discernment. We need to be able to kind of discern or discriminate between what is right and wrong, and that ability to observe. And that is what is known as kind of analytical meditation. So from a Buddhist mind science perspective, right, Buddhism and scientific methods investigate reality in very similar ways. Right? We have questions, we form hypotheses, we make predictions, we observe, we analyze, we use critical thinking skills, we investigate, right? We are skeptics, right? The Buddha himself was a scientist in the sense that he said, like, do not accept something along the lines of, do not accept my teachings as mere words of truth. Like, you must analyze my teachings in the same way that a goldsmith would, you know, burn and scrub gold to really discern whether this is gold or not. Okay, you must kind of scrutinize my teachings in the same way. Both Buddhism and science, there's no kind of concept of blind faith. That's important. Right? However, Buddhism does point to, like, you know, firsthand experience that we gain trust in the teachings through our own experience, through firsthand experience. And that's a challenge as well, right? Because you have to kind of go through the practice to do that. Okay. The other kind of another big difference, of course, in Buddhism is that, like, the goal of a Buddhist is to be free of suffering and the causes of suffering, right? To free ourselves of attachments to this world and to our concepts and tendencies that create suffering. So I was just talking to you about Kanjula, Kanjo Kunga Buma Sherpa, and she shares this quote that I wanted to read out to you. It's something that we're going to be doing a little bit of today. And it's really just like investigating the true causes of happiness and suffering, right? Where Kanjula says there are many different types of meditations. And most people, when thinking of meditation, they think of something that is really relaxed and not taking anything to the mind, really just kind of totally letting go and spacing out. But Kanjula says we have this very precious intelligence. We've gone through education. We have great knowledge and great intelligence. And if we use this properly, right, we can actually see reality as it is. And if you see there is something that is wholesome, you can take it on. If you see there's something harmful or negative, you can avoid it. Okay, so this kind of intelligence is very useful. This kind of intelligence is very useful and very precious. That ability to kind of discern what is healthy and helpful for ourselves, right? And what is something that is harmful for ourselves and others. And using meditation as a source of reflection and discernment for being able to try to cultivate lasting happiness. And letting go of a lot of these qualities that we do want to gradually let go of. Okay, so a little bit about kind of like this, the process in Buddhism of acquiring knowledge to kind of embody it in your daily life, right? For it to familiarize itself. So really in Buddhism, they talk about study, reflection, and meditation, okay? And for a lot of people, like they just want to kind of meditate and practice, but really without the study element, without kind of acquiring more knowledge, we can only kind of go so far with the practice. So the study element is really, really important. So this is kind of like called like the three wisdoms. So study is a huge part of Tibetan Buddhism and is something that is seen as really, really crucial in terms of being able to again, discern between like the right view and the wrong view. Okay. And that goes like all the way up to the right view, the wrong view of reality. So that's why you often see like monks in a monastery debating at length using like very traditional debating methods, because that is seen as something that is critical to their own understanding, their own developing their own critical thinking skills. And then the reflection element is we've done this study and we've kind of gained this knowledge. Okay. Now we need to see like, how does this correspond to our daily life? How do the teachings correspond to our everyday reality? Right. And then the meditation element is, okay, I've decided what I like and what I don't like. Now, how can I familiarize myself with those practices on a day-to-day basis so that I can actually really implement them and have them just be a really powerful part of my life? Okay, so the all three study, reflection, meditation are what bring about transformation. Okay. And also Buddhism talks about two types of realizations as well. Those are that are contrived, and those are that are uncontrived. Okay. And so when we have contrived realizations, it's like we really make this effort to analyze and dissect. Right. And then uncontrived realizations are what kind of come up spontaneously, but have been brought about through hours of practice. So for example, like for me, like driving, I learned to drive a car in Australia when I was just like, you know, a teenager, but then I've been driving a car in Asia for most of my life. And it's a lot more challenging in a way to drive a car in Kathmandu than it is here, because there are like no rules essentially. And it's about getting from point A to point B without hurting anyone or without hurting yourself. Right. And then coming back to, but you, it somehow works, you know, in Asia, when you like in some of these cities, like it seems crazy, but it somehow works in its own way. And so coming back to Australia and driving a car here, at first it's actually quite intimidating for me, just like the speed, making sure I knew the rules, right? And making sure I knew exactly where I was going all the time, because like if you're not in the right lane, you can't just change that, like you're done, you know, you've got to make that decision and go for it, right? So that I found that like incredibly challenging, intimidating for the first month or so of driving here again. And so at the beginning, what are you doing, right? You're focusing on that all the time. It's like, you know, you've got your two hands on the wheel, just totally focused, nothing else. Like I just need to get from point A to point B, right? And do everything correctly. But as you familiarize yourself with that learning, it gets more and more natural, and then it becomes spontaneous. And then you're not even thinking about it anymore, right? And you could be thinking about another thing or listening to this, you know, this song or this podcast or singing along to whatever, and like you're just kind of driving along, right? So that's kind of, I think, a metaphor for these kind of uncontrived realizations that we can have through practice, right? Spending more and more time familiarizing ourselves with study, reflection, and meditation, so that we can have these kind of spontaneous realizations of what is going to help us to live happier lives. So last night, actually, this wasn't going to be part of today's session, but last night I was listening to Alan Watts. Like I was listening to this YouTube thing that I think AI created, like a voice for him. And I found it really, really fascinating. It's like, I think he was like AI was like reading in his voice from one of his passages. And I found it actually really helpful listening to a Western psychologist talk about Eastern philosophy using different labels or different explanations from what we're generally used to in Tibetan Buddhism, right? So, you know, one of the quotes that I really liked is you're not a stranger in the universe, but we are an expression of it, right? So Alan Watts often talked about how like we're not these kind of like independent selves. We're not like our own island. We're not isolated. We're completely interconnected. We are dependently originated. And our experience, like it's almost like our experience in the world is like we are somehow an expression of the universe in terms of how we can look at getting closer to connecting to our purpose and to our value, is like trying to understand that somehow like our consciousness is a greater reflection of the universe, right? So he used the analogy of the mirror, right? That consciousness is less like a controller and more like a mirror that reflects experience. And actually Tibetan Buddhism does the same thing when explaining dependent origination of all phenomena. right? It's like we look in the mirror and we see ourselves in the mirror, but that doesn't mean that we are in the mirror, right? And that's the same. It is merely a reflection. And that's kind of an analogy for understanding like dependent origination of all phenomena, right? And he uses a similar analogy, right? That our consciousness is less like a controller, but it's more like this mirror that kind of reflects experience, right? So for example, like if we want to, you know, like he talked about in his lecture or talk, which I found really interesting, is like he talked about like often like if we want something, you know, like we'll pray for it, right? We're like, I really want to be happy. I want this person in my life, or I want this material object, or I want this person to experience this, or whatever it is. And we kind of like pray for it, like there's some kind of external controller that's going to grant those wishes, right? But actually what he's saying is that our consciousness, what it does is it starts in the universe, is it starts to kind of just kind of reflect those wishes and those yearnings. And so, for example, like, let's say, you know, you were to experience more and more happiness. It's because you are giving more and more happiness, right? It's like this kind of, it's like a natural karmic cause and condition, right? So if you're going to look at like for me, I started equating it more and more with like the law of cause and effect, the Buddhist law of cause and effect, where it's like, oh, like if I want to receive more things, I'm going to surround myself with people who are generous, and I'm going to give, and I'm going to be more generous. And through that act, and through that act of generosity, I will also receive. So the act of giving is receiving. Right. And so, like, I think you can start to use this notion of like our consciousness being kind of like a reflection or like a mirror, and this kind of analogy to help us to cultivate more lasting happiness, right? If we want to have the causes and conditions to be happy and free from suffering, we want to create those causes and conditions for others. We want to help other people be happy. And that is our intention. That is our motivation. That is our thought. And when we have done that act or thought, we dedicate it, right? May that person experience happiness and the causes for happiness. And if that process becomes further and further familiarized or integrated into our experience, then we're just creating more and more causes and conditions for greater happiness, right? Or like in Buddhism, we talk also about the six perfections, right? So the six perfections being generosity, right? Or charity, like giving to others, morality, ethics, right? Again, you know, we talked the other day about environments that we surround ourselves in and how they have such a strong impact. But if we put ourselves, like if we're, you know, hanging out in Las Vegas, like day in and day out or every weekend, right? That's where we're going, and putting ourselves around in that environment is going to become more and more challenging to always make ethical decisions, right? Vice versa, when we're putting, you know, if we're putting ourselves in suddenly like a monastic institution where, you know, the monks and nuns are up at dawn and they're finished with their studies at 10 o'clock at night and they live by these monastic rules, then we'll be, you know, focused more and more on living an ethical life and bringing in those wisdoms of study and reflection and meditation into our everyday life, right? So again, like our consciousness becomes this reflection of our thoughts and our feelings and our surroundings and our environments. I also think it's interesting how Alan Watts talks about like awareness. Like we always have awareness. Compassion from a Buddhist standpoint, compassion, wisdom, and awareness are with us all the time, 24/7. Right? We're never without compassion, wisdom, and awareness. They are an intrinsic part of our nature. Okay, even if we don't always see them. Right? And Alan Watts says awareness knows thoughts, emotions, and sensations. But when we look at the observer, it is difficult to find the observer. Right? So we're doing this meditation and we're experiencing this sensation or experiencing this thought. And then we can ask ourselves, like, who is experiencing this sensation? Who is experiencing this thought? Who's having this thought? Right? And then there's this. I guess there's this concept, well, I am me, right? And that's where we talked about like curiosity. Well, who am I? Right? And exploring that, analyzing that with this curiosity. Right? Not necessarily this strong judgment of like, you know, yes, no, right, wrong, me, you. Right? Black, white, but just like curiously exploring this. Okay, right. So, you know, just as like a wave is something that an ocean is doing, right? Alan wants to talk about a person is something that the universe is expressing. So we are an expression of the universe, right? And our freedom comes not from trying to control those experiences or expressions, but just recognizing them, being aware of them, and letting that experience unfold. Anyway, I wasn't planning on kind of introducing all this, but I thought it was really interesting. And kind of in my own meditation and practice this morning after listening to Alan Watts last night, I found it actually really helpful, really beneficial to kind of get like a Western psychologist's viewpoint coupled with, you know, an Eastern. Yeah, we Eastern philosopher as well. So we're going to do some meditation now. And we're going to do an analytical meditation, but we're going to begin with stabilizing meditation just by focusing on the breath. Just trying to relax and stabilize our minds with awareness on the breath. That's our objective awareness. I'll just kind of go through the different things first, and then we'll actually do the practice. And then we're going to explore really the value of our life, this human life, your life. And it's not just some intellectual exercise, but with a calm and stable mind, I'll invite you to just curiously explore different experiences. What has brought meaning and purpose and happiness? Moments of joy. Likewise, what has brought moments of suffering and sorrow? And examining why is this so, using our analytical mind, using, as Khandala says, using our intellect. Our learning, our knowledge. So you can keep your eyes slightly open or closed, whatever is comfortable. You can make your spine straight, but not too stiff or rigid. Hands gently in your lap. Just begin by connecting with your breath. Observing the inhale, the exhale. Just stay with your breath for a while. If thoughts come, just observe. No need to judge. And return to the breath. If you have a hard time staying with your breath, I'd find it helpful to just count each inhale and exhale as you breathe. If you get distracted by sounds like passing traffic or creaking of a chair, that's okay. You're aware. And just return gently to the breath. As you breathe, and are aware of your breath. You can think about how blessed you are to be alive. With each breath, let that awareness grow in you. It's not just a thought. It's an experience. You are alive. Isn't that amazing? As Lama Zopa Rinpoche says, each moment of our precious human rebirth is more precious, more amazing than skies of wish-granting jewels. Unbelievable. Now, I invite you to think about things in your life that give you meaning and purpose. It can help to look back in the past and notice what has left a positive imprint that still lasts today in this moment. Happy memories, joyful moments, your unique skills, times when you know you've made a positive difference. Experiences that you treasure as being something valuable, meaningful. Don't be afraid to relive them. Feel them now as they felt then. Maybe those moments of joy and happiness and satisfaction are also connected to real challenge and difficulty at some point. Notice how they might be related to interacting with others. How it made others feel. Continue to explore what brings meaning and value to your life. This is part of your limitless potential. Your precious and valuable human life. Will some of these elements leave an imprint on others in the world? Your values, your contributions, your happiness, your joy. Are some of these things going to perhaps last beyond this life? Leaving an imprint on others in the world. It could be how you've impacted a friend or a family member. Achievements that have come at great effort. Creative contributions. whatever it is that you're seeing and focusing on, could they leave an imprint on you in the future as well? Could it be a continuity of your own consciousness? As you continue to develop and take shape and grow and regrow. Let your values and contributions continue to fill you with purpose and determination and energy. If indeed, like Alan Watts says, we are an expression of the universe, then what are your unique qualities that you are expressing and sharing with others? What gifts do you bring to the table? What unique qualities can you share? And don't limit yourself. Of course, you can think of what may be small or everyday things, but you can also dream big. To help integrate your conclusions in this analytical meditation, just contemplate on the feelings. Contemplate the feelings you've been experiencing. How do they show up physically? Do they provide more energy and inspiration? Now I invite you to spend a few moments just rejoicing how wonderful it is that you have these qualities, this precious human life. these qualities of love and compassion, wisdom and awareness, knowledge and study, family, friends, material comforts, and opportunities like right now. The opportunity to analyze them and reflect on them. Can rejoice, can be grateful. Few deep, few breaths. Just return your awareness to the room. I'll just let you kind of just absorb, like just kind of absorb how that felt. Shake off maybe any feeling of stiffness, or have a sip of water. And we're going to do one more smaller, shorter meditation. It's going to lead into kind of our final activity together at the end of this program, mini program. So we're going to do another meditation now, just on the power of motivation and dedication, and how kind of really focusing in our intention behind doing what we do brings so much more power and meaning. Especially if our intention or motivation is based in altruism, based in trying to make a positive difference for others, right? Trying to meaningfully contribute to a better society, a better world, a more harmonious family or center here, or wherever, right? Our intention, it gives direction to our activities. So as Lama Thubten Yeshe, the founder of FBMT, says that our right mental attitude is much more important than action. Our attitude, our intention. So before meditating, check and adjust your motivation. If you do this, your meditation will become much easier and more worthwhile. And your right action will bring realizations. So just settle down again. So establish your motivation for this practice. So your higher aspirations, based on our previous meditation of analyzing our joys, our values, our contributions, our moments of happiness. I invite you to ask yourself, what is something that you can offer to yourself, what you can offer to others? What is something you can offer to our world? Write unique gifts. Insights, wisdom. And how can having a more balanced, warm, kind-hearted, wise mind contribute to that? You can visualize yourself adopting those attitudes in all your interactions with yourself and with others, at home and on the street. At work and doing your groceries. What does that feel like in your heart? What does it feel like in your body? What does it sound like when you speak? Grateful, humble, thoughtful. What does it look like when you act? And what does it feel like in your mind? Is it light? Does it give you energy? Is it courageous? Is it kind? Where does this energy direct you? Where does it direct your thoughts? Just observe. Maybe just conclude now this practice by dedicating that this energy, this inspiration, be shared with all beings, helping all beings experience happiness and the causes for happiness. Being separated from suffering and causes of suffering. Abiding in equanimity, free from attachment and aversion. Just bring our attention back to the room. So if you have a pen or a paper or a phone or you can kind of write these down, but we're just going to do a little activity here based on our meditation and reflection. And you can just write down like a few things. Just you don't have to also. You don't have to write it down. You can just think about it. It's up to you. But you can think about what, through that meditation, what kept coming up, you know. Do we have any Zoomers?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can, you know, at home, you can also do this on a piece of paper, on a phone, whatever you like, you know. Just think about the qualities that you most value in yourself. Your honesty, compassion, creativity, sincerity, discipline, patience, ethics. And then the second question would be like, what do I hope people experience when they interact with me? So like how would I like my family, my friends, my colleagues, my students, my community members to feel when they interact with me? Positive, happy. Do you make them laugh? Do you help them to feel heard? Do they feel safe? And then for your third question, what is a contribution that you would like to make to the world, you know, however small or large? You can think really small, like, you know, it could be something in your family. Not that small, but like a smaller group of individuals. Workplace, or I can try to think big in terms of society, the world, the universe, right? How are we doing with those three questions? Can I move on? Right. Now just we're going to connect like our aspiration with our mind. So, consider this, if I had a slightly more balanced, warm, wise mind, how would that help me express these values? So, for example, you might write a sentence like, when I'm more balanced, I'm able to show up in this way or cultivate this attitude. You might also consider things that are kind of stopping you from cultivating these attitudes, a balanced attitude, a warm-hearted attitude, or more awareness. When I'm more warm-hearted or compassionate, I'm able to do what? Be a better listener, more patient. I'm able to look at other perspectives. I'm able to be more forgiving and tolerant of myself. Forgiving and tolerant of others. When I'm more aware, am I able to do when I'm more aware? Notice positive habits of mind. Practice equanimity. Practice six perfections or loving kindness. Then part three is like, what's like? How does this lead you to kind of develop some pro-social contribution, right? Like a concrete action. So what's like a small action you could take away today, this week, this month, this year, this life that reflects your values, your skills? It reflects your highest aspirations. It is a benefit to others. So it could be something really small, like being a better listener to a friend or a family member, be more encouraging, to volunteer your time. To reach out to someone who you maybe haven't in a while, someone who might be going through a hard time. Maybe to practice patience in a difficult relationship. Whatever it may be. Or it could be something really big, big dream you have. What's stopping you from taking steps towards that? So, yeah, based on your kind of pro-social contributions, I would love you to get into small groups, two, three, or four, and talk about, invite you to talk about like values that maybe emerge from them, or what is a contribution that you would like to make, right? Or how you're going to implement some of the learnings from this course into your daily life, so that it's something that's not just occurred, for the one, two, or six sessions that you were here, but something that continues to develop and be built on as you move forward in your life. And then it would be really nice if we could share out some of those thoughts. So I think we'll bring it back. So would anybody like to share some of the aspirations, or kind of how we'd like to integrate some of this learning into our daily life? Yeah, any kind of values, dreams, hopes, commitments? What was coming up?
Be more compassionate with the newborn,
Oh.
looking after their family.
Your grandfather.
It just become
Congratulations.
There's another one, but
I really like that. Observing, not absorbing.
Did you not talk about that? It was me, like a friend of mine just said last night and she
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly what we've been talking about. I'm not sure I use those exact words, but
And then from
that's a listening, perspective taking, right? And continuing to cultivate patience. Really wonderful. And I think those are big themes like throughout the course, is that ability to take a little bit of time to look at things from different perspectives, to not slam the doors in our own mind, right? To observe, not absorb. Yeah, listen to ourselves and others, not just about everything. Listening to others is key, but also being able to kind of listen to ourselves and our inner voice as well, and trusting that. Anything else? Any other? Anybody else want to share? Don't have to, of course.
I think it's been said quite beautifully. It's already
It's already been said. Thank you.
been
Yeah. So just before we do our final dedication, I just want to thank you all for making the effort to be here tonight and on other occasions as well. And special thank you to Pauline and Tina for managing all the logistics, and to Miffy, of course. I've really enjoyed getting to know you all a little bit, and to be able to share some of these teachings. And I really hope that you're able to take just one or two things away, and that they will be helpful for you and others today, and continuing on and on from this standpoint of everything being interconnected. And so, these little bits of wisdom that we can then share with others will continue to have that domino effect to make a more caring, compassionate, and wise and aware society and world. So yeah, it's been really, really nice to be able to share this with all of you. And if you ever come to Nepal or have an interest in talking about, Dharma and Buddhist mind science and anything like this, then you feel free to get my contact details on the way out. I'm always happy to stay in touch. I love talking about all of this, as you've noticed, as I jabber on. So I appreciate your patience when listening to me as well. And if we can just close with, oh, wow, this is the first time I'm finishing at 8 on the dot. If we can just close with our dedication. And really try to think about like what these words mean and how we can contribute to this prayer, to this dedication. It's called the Four Immeasurables. And that's what they are. They are immeasurable. They go on forever and ever. They are dependently originated. And they are possible. They are achievable. So may all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. And all beings, even the ones we struggle to really think about them having happiness and the causes for happiness. It's really thinking about every single sentient being, right? Every ant, down to the smallest plankton. May every single sentient being have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all beings never be separated from the supreme joy that is beyond all sorrow. May all beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment and aversion.
Thank you so much. Class, and hopefully we have more wise expressions in the universe, wisdom and compassion, kindness from that.
Thank you, Pauline.
That's saying from our loss.